what the plan is for today. First of all, there is a handout. I think you all have a copy. So, first of all, the handout has two sides. One side is homework assignment 2, which I was supposed to hand out last week, but last week a class got canceled. I canceled. And the other side is the handout for next time. So this time is supposed to be a bit dull, okay? But next class should be beautiful. So the handout is supposed to, it is next class, okay? And I'll bring it again next time. Please bring it again to next time so that I can save some ink. But it's really supposed to be a pretty construction. Now as for today, there is also a black and white handout, and the black and white handout is my internal notes for today, my notebook page on today's class. And there are two reasons why I printed it. One is that I actually, sort of parts of the material are, I'm uncomfortable with myself. I don't know, my own psychology. I'm always a bit confused in this neighborhood. So the idea is that you have it too and you can help me, or you know, you can help me a bit if necessary. And the other reason is that, you should pick up, there is another handout as well. The other reason is it's kind of like why there are progress bars when you download large files with Firefox or something, or when you install a big program, okay? Because it's extremely boring, and you kind of want to know where you are relative to the overall. So you can follow my notes, and then you'll know how far we are from the end and from the more interesting next class. Anyway, so this is my the two handouts. Anyway, so I want to start with what will be the high algebra. And the high algebra is about the construction of a universal finite type invariant, or about the construction of a so-called homomorphic expansion. And I need to tell you what the things are and why I care about them. And the reason I care about them is the following. So remember the fundamental theorem, which we haven't proven yet. And it says that the set of all finite type invariants is, roughly speaking, the dual of A. Okay, so I mean more precisely, if you have a finite type invariant of degree m, and you regard it modulo finite type invariant of degree m minus 1, then what you get is a linear functional on the degree m part of A, and the claim is that every linear functional of degree of type m comes from such an invariant. Okay? So a different way of saying it is that every weight system, so in other words, every W which belongs to a dual in degree n integrates. So this is kind of like the nth derivative of an invariant, and the claim is that whenever you have something that looks like the nth derivative, it really is the nth derivative. You can find an invariant whose nth derivative is W. Okay, so in other words, there exists V, which is an invariant of the same type, such that the nth derivative of V is W. Okay, so this is absolutely fundamental. Without this theorem, there is kind of no relationship between all the low algebra that we've done and knot theory. Or there is at most a partial relationship. This is the theorem that says if we construct a weight system, say by using Lie algebras, we've actually also constructed a knot invariant. Okay, so it's clearly a huge debt that I have, the fact that we haven't proven this.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm not going to prove it today, and in fact, I'm not going to prove it tomorrow either. Next class either, because next class I'm going to sketch a proof, and it's not going to be precise enough to be called a real proof. Later on, maybe I'll ask Zuji to volunteer to give a talk about an actual proof. But later on, we may prove it by other means. But for now, I just want to reformulate the question. Okay? So, definition. A so-called universal finite type invariant is an invariant Z which is defined on the space of all knots and with values in the space A that we care about, such that if you compute Z on a knot K, which is n singular, so if K is n singular, so remember an n singular knot has an underlying core diagram, right? So let's call this core diagram, core diagram, let's call it D sub K. Okay? So what I want is that Z of K will be equal to, so remember that A is a graded space. Okay? This is a space of core diagrams, and every core diagram has a degree, the number of chords in it. So I want Z of K to be D sub K plus stuff which is of higher degree, plus higher degree stuff. Okay, or diagrams of higher degree, parts that live in higher degree parts of A. So, okay, parts in degree more than A. Okay? Notice one amusing thing. A universal finite type invariant is in itself not a finite type invariant. Okay? Because I never, so to be a finite type invariant, it would have to vanish on singular knots with sufficiently many singularities. And I'm kind of saying the opposite. Okay? No matter how many singularities you have, the Z of K always starts with something which is, generally speaking, not zero. Okay? So, it's not a finite type invariant. Okay. Anyway, claim, the fundamental theorem holds. In other words, every weight system integrates if and only if there exists a universal finite type invariant. So, if and only if there exists a universal finite type invariant Z. Okay? So, proof. Well, I have to show, are you with me? Are you okay? Are you happy with the way the progress bar is moving? Yes.
If it doesn't have singularity, does the lowest order term has to be the empty
circle.
Diagram? Okay.
Yes, the empty diagram. So N could be zero.
Okay.
Right? If K is zero singular, it means it's just an honest knot.
Okay.
And then the underlying diagram is an empty circle, and I want to use Z of K to be an empty circle plus more stuff.
Yep.
Okay? So, proof. So I guess let's do the easy side first. Okay? So let's prove this implication. So I'm assuming that there exists a Z, and I want to show the fundamental theorem. So given W, which belongs to the degree n piece of a of an dual, we have a diagram as follows. We have K mapping to via Z to A, and A mapping into the ground field, let's declare that it's Q for today, by W. So what I mean by this is, so W is defined on AN, well, extend it to the rest of A by zero. Extend it to core diagrams of all other degrees by zero, okay? And then I need to construct an invariant with the weight system W, okay? So I claim that you just complete this triangle and that this is this invariant, okay? So set V to be W composed with Z, okay? And I need to prove that the weight system of V, sorry, I need to prove that V is of finite type and that the weight system of V is W. Okay? So first of all, let's show that V is of finite type. Or you know what, even more specifically, let's show that V is of type N. Okay? So to show that it's of type N, I need to take a knot K which has more than N singularities. So take K which belongs to the set of knots with N plus 1 singularities. I don't remember if I've used this notation before or not, but if not, I hereby use it. Okay? So KN plus 1 means knots with n plus 1 double points. Okay? Then, what is V of K? Well, V of K is, by definition, W of Z of K. And this is W of Z of K. But Z of K is the diagram underlying K plus higher order stuff. Okay? But the diagram underlying K is already in degree n plus 1, and W vanishes on anything of degree higher than n. So this is just equal to 0, and we're done. Okay? Now, to show that W has the right weight system, I just have to compute it on a diagram of the on a knot of degree n, with n double points. Okay, so now let's check. Now let's prove that the nth derivative of V is equal to W. Well, take K, which has precisely n singularities. Okay, and compute V of K. So V of K is, well, on one hand, it is, this is by definition, right, computing V on an n singular knot means differentiating V n times. So this is by definition the nth derivative of V evaluated on the diagram that underlies K. So underlying K. Okay? But it is also, by the formula, it's W of Z of K, which is exactly what I wrote before, W of the diagram of K, sorry, plus higher order stuff. W kills the higher order stuff. You're only left with W on D of K. So it's W of D of K, and you're done. Okay, so we've shown that W is equal to the nth derivative of V. Okay? So this is the easy direction. The hard direction is not much harder. Is it okay if I erase the easy side? Okay, I mean, because I think everything else is more valuable. So,
is V on knots of type less than N also zero?
No.
So W
no.
on stuff
v.
less than...
If V was zero, okay. The question is, suppose K belongs to Kn minus 7.
Yeah.
In fact, if K belonged to K0,
mm-hmm.
first of all, if I knew that V was 0 on K0,
yeah.
it would just be the 0
right.
invariant because K0 is knots. Okay?
So
but what if K belongs to Kn minus 1? If K belongs to Kn minus 1, then V of K is same as this, is same as that. But now the higher order terms
also
are not zero. Now, you know, if k is of type n minus 1, then dk will have n minus 1 chords, but I could have more stuff here with exactly n chords. And evaluated on w, this is not, you don't get zero. Okay?
So W is not just the degree n piece then, it's
no,
everything
w
downstairs.
No, W is the degree n piece. But Z has terms
oh.
of higher degrees than the degree of what you feed it with. So if you feed Z with a knot of type, or with a knot, with an n singular knot, Z of that knot will start in degree n, but we'll also have stuff in degree n plus 1, n plus 2, and so on.
Is okay, I'm sorry, I need
no,
to clarify
okay,
this.
No.
So for degree less than n,
yeah.
what is the value of w on it?
Zero. W is defined on, okay, so we have k, going to A dual, sorry, going to A, going to Q via W. W, so, okay, A is really, you know, A less than N, direct sum AN, direct sum A greater than N. Okay, W maps this to Q, Z's are just defined to be zero,
okay,
and V is defined to be this composition.
Okay.
Now, if you start from a non-singular knot, a knot of degree zero here, it doesn't mean that it goes to zero here.
Right.
Because K0 will map into the direct sum of all of these, and it will have a component in An.
Yep.
Okay? The point is that if you start with k n plus 2, n plus 1, then it maps only to the stuff of degree greater than n, and then it goes to 0.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
Okay. So, okay. So now the hard side, well, you know, it's sort of only hard, well, it's still easy, but... it's a tiny bit harder. So now the hard side, okay? So let's pick a basis, what should we call it? WN, I of AN dual. So, for every n, so this will be for every n, so where I runs from 1 up to the dimension of a n, which is finite because, again, it's a finite quotient. Okay? So just pick a basis. Now, each sub WNI is a degree n weight system. So by the fundamental theorem, which I'm now assuming, it integrates. Okay? So choose VNI of type n such that, of course, this choice is not unique. It's far from unique. But choose one. Such that VNI, the nth derivative, is WNI. Okay? And now, whenever you have a basis, there is also a dual basis. Okay? So let DNJ be the dual basis of WNI. In other words, I want WNI evaluated on DNJ to be delta IJ. Okay? So to be more so DNJ is not a single diagram, it's some element of AN. Okay? And now let's define the Z that I want. So set Z of a not K to be the sum over N of the sum over I going from 1 to the dimension of A N, so this is a finite sum, of D N I times Z N I of K. It's basically the only thing you can write that can possibly make sense. Okay? So, first of all, this is a convergent sum. Okay? So, you see, when you... Okay, for every fixed N, this is a finite sum of elements of AN. Okay, so when you increase N, you go to higher and higher ANs, and at some point I said that whenever I write AN, I mean completed. So I mean you allow infinite linear combinations provided the degrees go up. Okay, so I mean again, so if you want to, so you know, if I really wanted to be fully precise, I'd have to add the completion symbol here. I don't need to add it because I said that it's automatically completed. So I'm allowing infinite sums. Okay? So this is an infinite sum. Every finite part of it is finite, so it's convergent. So this indeed belongs to A. Okay? And I claim that it has the desired property. Okay? Oh, second, it's clearly a not invariant because it's just a linear combination of not invariants. And I claim that it has the desired property. So let's compute this. Okay? So Z of a not K, so now if K is an n singular knot, Z of a not K is by definition this formula. Okay? Now, in this formula, the V's let's take now an M singular knot so that we're not confused by, so that the dummy summation variable does not contradict with the fixed M that we have, okay? So now, if M is bigger than N, then we are evaluating a degree N invariant on an M singular knot, so we get zero. Okay? So this summation starts at M. Okay? So this becomes the sum as N goes from M to infinity of the same thing. Okay? But I can rewrite it as the M part and the rest. So the M part is the sum as I go from 1 to the dimension of A M of D M I V M I of K. I've just copied, plus the rest. Okay? But the rest involves degree higher than M, and I don't care about the rest. The rest is allowed and can be whatever it wants. Okay? So, the rest is I don't care about. I mean, I could copy the formula, but I don't bother. Okay? So, let's continue working with this part. So now this is the sum of, okay, but VMI evaluated on an M singular knot is by definition the mth derivative of VMI, which is by choice WMI. Okay? So this is sum of DMI W M I evaluated on the diagram underlying K. Okay? But now, forget the fact that these are diagrams and weight systems and diagrams again. This is now a general vector space fact. Okay? If you take a basis and a dual basis and sort of form this sum, it's D of K. Okay? So this is the D sub K. So this is just D sub K. Okay? This is sort of a general linear algebra fact, okay? The general linear algebra fact is that, you know, if you have a vector space with basis xi and a dual basis phi I, and you compute sum of xi phi I evaluated on y, this is y. Okay? And the reason it's true is because it's true for every yi which is a basis element. Because for a basis element, you get a delta ij here and it selects only one of the right basis element. And then if it's true for basis elements, it's true everywhere. So this is it. Are you with me? Are you okay? How's the progress bar doing? Ooh, badly. Okay. So what I want to do next is the part that I am, before that. So from this point on, our goal is no longer to prove the fundamental theorem, but instead to find a universal finite type invariant. Okay, so we want to find one gadget which takes nodes to A with a certain simple property. Okay, and from this point on, this is our goal, and next class I will show you an insane way of doing this. But for now, I want to understand it a little bit more abstractly. So what has happened here generalizes greatly. And later we will need this kind of generalizations, so I wanted to go through it, even if quickly. Okay? So What I want to tell you is that there are several categories, okay, and I want to tell you some things about what's happening between those categories, okay? So the first category is the category that, I don't know what is the formal name. I mean, I don't know if there is a formal name, but I'll call it effect. And it's the category of so-called filtered vector spaces. So, you know, I'm using vector spaces because I'm lazy. Many of the things that I say also apply to Z modules or other situations. But anyway, I, as I said, I'm lazy. So it's the category of filtered vector space. A filtered vector space is a vector space K. So it's a vector space K along with a sequence of decreasing sequence of subspaces thereof. Okay? So first, the first subspace is K0, which is equal to K, and it contains a subspace K1, which contains a subspace K2, which contains and so on. Okay? Now, a morphism of filtered vector spaces is, well, if you have two objects, so if you have two filtered vector spaces, so you have K and K prime, and K prime is also K prime 0, which contains K prime 1, which contains K prime 2, a morphism between the two will be a map, what should we call it? I don't know. Phi. Okay? From K to K prime, which when restricted to K0, map K0 to K0 prime. Well, that's not hard because they're equal. But also, when restricted to K1, maps K1 to K1 prime. When restricted to K2, maps K2 to K2 prime, and so on. Okay? So that's filtered vector spaces. Similarly, there is a category called G-vect, and G-vect is the category of graded vector spaces. A graded vector space is a vector space A along with a decomposition into homogeneous components. So presented as a direct sum as M goes from 0 to infinity of subspaces AM, okay? And I will assume that that this is always completed. Okay, so it's really completed graded vector spaces that I'm talking about, okay? Now, there are functors going from this category to that category and back. So, if you have, so there is a functor fill, which goes from G-vect into F-vect. And it's the functor which maps, oh, sorry, I forgot to tell you how this is a category. So a morphism between two such things is a map from A to A prime, which maps the corresponding A prime, AM prime to the corresponding, sorry, more precisely, it's a sequence of maps, one for each M, which maps AM to AM prime. Okay? So it just maps the pieces to the pieces. Okay? So there is a functor filled from G-vect to F-vect defined by, if you have a direct sum as M goes from 0 to infinity of AM, you'll map it to Now I need to define a filtration. So the filtration will be, well, the first element in the filtration will be the sum as m goes to 0. So sum over as m greater than or equal to 0 of am. This contains the sum as m is greater than 1 of am. This contains the sum as m is greater than or equal to 2 of am, and so on. Okay? So basically, you filter by taking as direct sums of tails. Okay? There is also a functor ger going from g vect, sorry, going from f vect to g vect, and it goes as follows. So if you have k containing k0, containing k1, containing k2, containing and so on, you map it to, well, you just look at the successive quotients. Okay? So you look at k0 mod k1 direct sum, k1 mod k2 direct sum, k2 mod k3, and so on. Okay? Now, it's easy to check that both of these things are functors. Okay? So, you know, I only told you how they act on objects, but they also act on morphisms. So if you have a morphism between two filtered spaces, it induces a morphism between the corresponding graded spaces. Now, okay. Now, now, it's kind of trivial that ger of fill is the identity, well, it's naturally isomorphic, to be precise, to the identity functor, naturally equivalent to the identity functor. Okay? So, right, if you start from a graded thing, so you start from an A, you filter it like this, and then you look at successive quotients. So you look at the sum as m is greater than 1, modulo the sum as m is greater than 2. Clearly, what you're left with is a2. Okay? So if you look at the associated graded of the filtration given here, you come back to where you started from. So, ger of fill is naturally equivalent to the identity. However, it is not true, but fill composed with grade is not naturally equivalent to the identity. Okay? An expansion. So, definition, an expansion is well, how should I say that? The functor fill composed with ger is not naturally equivalent to the identity. This does not mean that the objects are not identical, are not isomorphic. The objects are isomorphic. So if you start from a filtered thing, you look at its associated graded, and then you look at fill of that, you get a new filtered space, which is isomorphic to the one you started from, but there is no canonical choice of an isomorphism. Hence, it's not a natural equivalence. However, you can choose an equivalence. Okay? So, an expansion for a filtered vector space, so for an object K in the category of filtered vector spaces, is essentially a choice of this isomorphism. So it's a map Z going from K into fill of Ger of K such that Ger of Z, so okay, this is now a filter, this was a filtered space to start with, this still is a filtered space, so that Ger of Z, well, it's a map from Ger of K to Ger of fill of Ger of K, but Ger of fill is the identity. So it's a map from Ger of K to Ger of K. So this should be the identity of Ger of K. Okay? Now, compare this with a universal finite type invariant. So it's, oh, you know what? Should I say that now? Well, not yet. You know what? This is essentially what a universal finite type invariant is, but not quite. So let me wait another minute and only then say it. Claim. Okay, so one reason why it's not the same is that, well, okay, it's somehow the, okay, I shouldn't have said that. It's not the same. We'll come back to this in a minute. But claim an expansion always exists. It's not unique, but it always exists. Okay? So, at least in vector spaces. So, proof. Okay. So, proof. So, what I need to do is the following. I have K, which contains K0, or I have K0, which contains K1, which contains K2, which contains and so on. And I need to construct a map into K0 mod K1 direct sum K1 mod K2 direct sum, right, because I need to, sorry, direct sum K2 mod K3 direct sum, so on. So I need to construct a map from here to this direct sum, which will have the property, so it's really a map into the whole direct sum, which will have the property that when you evaluate the map on K1, the part that goes into here is zero. And when you evaluate the map in K2, the part that goes into everything below K2, sorry, to the left of K2, is zero. So in other words, when you restrict your map Z to K2, it will only go to the stuff to the below it or to the right from it. Okay? Because that's what it is. I mean, I need to go from K, which is K0, into fill of Ger of K, so into the vector space Ger of K, which is just this direct sum, but so that when I take the degree n piece in the filtration here, it will go to the degree n piece in the filtration here. So when I take a something high in the hierarchy here, it will go to the sum of things higher than it in the hierarchy below. Are you okay with me? Am I going? Okay. So that's what I need. Okay? And let me just tell you how it is done. So proof, or how is it done? You know what? It's written on the note that I gave you, and I don't want to, well, I'm out of time, so even if I did want, I wouldn't be able to complete it. Can I go just a couple minutes over time? Sorry. Okay, so first of all, the proof is given in the handout, and I will not write it, but it involved making choices, so it's not unique, okay? But then what I do want to do is to explain how expansions are related to universal finite type invariants, okay? So this is the next notion. So given A, which belongs to graded vector spaces, it will not fit in 2 minutes. Sorry. So let's wait with that until an unspecified later date. And next class will be about the actual construction of Z. And I don't need all the abstract nonsense to do it, because I already told you what I want. I want the universal finite type invariant. So